Man, Psalm 91, the Bible reads in verse number 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And this psalm is talking a lot about divine protection, God looking out for us, God watching out from us, and keeping us safe from all the perils that are in this world. I want you to quickly keep your finger there in Psalm 91, but flip over to John chapter 14. I just want to point out one quick thing over in John 14. But the Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What does the Bible mean by the secret place of the Almighty? Well, the idea here is that if you're in a secret place, you are hidden. And the idea is the enemy can't get at you because you're too protected, you're obscured, you're hidden, you're in the secret place of the Almighty. And then I think that the other reason that it's a secret place is because the world doesn't understand it. The world can't comprehend it. They don't know how to get to that place of protection and peace and safety, because it's the peace that passes all understanding, which means that human reasoning can't grasp the peace that a child of God can have in the storm. When they know that they're on the Lord's side, when they know that if God is for us, no one can be against us. Now look what the Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 27. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, the world cannot give the peace that God gives. Right? The clear conscience and the peace and the security that comes from God surpasses anything that this world has to offer. And you know what? I don't care how much money you have or what kind of fame or power or prosperity you have. You know, the best blessing in this world is being able to put your head on your pillow at night and go to sleep and feel good about things. You can't buy that with money. Some of the richest people in this world can't go to sleep. That's what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes. So back to Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And again, that's the idea of being in that secret place, that shelter, that protected cocoon, if you will. And notice at the beginning of verse 2, it says, I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress. You know, it's a great thing to realize that peace and security comes from the Lord, but that's not something we should just think about. It's something that we should actually say with our mouths as well. And there are a couple of reasons for that. Number one, we should always give the Lord credit. We should also be praising God and just saying these things about the Lord in general. But secondly, when we say things, a lot of times what we say becomes our reality. You know, if you go around complaining all the time and talking about all the bad aspects of your life, then that kind of becomes your reality. You have a bad life. Whereas if you're praising God, thanking God, you're saying, hey, God's going to protect me. God's going to go to bat for me. God's on my side. Then that becomes your mentality. Because when you talk to other people, you're not just talking to them. You're talking to yourself too. And you're hearing the words that are coming out of your own mouth. And if you're constantly saying the wrong things, you're going to start to have the wrong mentality. Whereas if you're constantly speaking according to the word of God, you know, then your mentality is going to follow. The Bible says, commit your works unto the Lord and your thoughts will be established. And so if you do and say, then you'll start thinking the right way as well. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Now, I think that a lot of times we get complacent about just how good we have it in America and just how blessed we are to live in a safe, prosperous country like America. And sometimes we can get down about our situation, whatever that situation is, thinking that, hey, I don't know if God's really blessing me. I don't feel like God's necessarily really protecting me or going to bat for me like I think that he should or like he promised that he would. But, you know, if you really stop and think about it, if you look at the things that this psalm is talking about, this is stuff that most of us don't really have to worry about. And God really does a good job of taking care of us. Because it says here, hey, you're not going to have to worry about terror by night, or the arrow by day. And the arrow here is a weapon, right? I mean, it's a projectile. This is not a metaphor here. We're talking about a literal sharp object coming at you. And the modern day equivalent of this would be like a bullet, right? So you don't have to be worried about the bullet by day or the terror by night. And you know what? A lot of the things that we take for granted when we're feeling sorry for ourselves is the fact that, you know, when we go to bed at night, we're probably not worried about being ripped out of our beds by violent criminals or violent thugs. I mean, maybe some of you might live in a real weird area or something, maybe especially if you're visiting from another city or something. But honestly, most of us are going to go to bed tonight with just total confidence, just knowing that we're safe and that everything's going to be fine. We're not dodging bullets by day. We're not waking up in the middle of the night freaked out. And, you know, it says the pestilence, you know, hey, I don't think that there's some horrible contagious disease coming through trashing everybody. Sure, people get sick from time to time and there are going to be illnesses. But you know what? In general, we have it pretty good if we have our health and if we have safety. You know, that goes a long way. The Bible says having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. So, you know, you got food in the pantry, you got clothes on your back, you don't have to worry about any gunshots today, you don't have to worry about being ripped out of bed in the middle of the night and beaten or killed or robbed, then you know what? Why don't you just be thankful and happy for that? Because that's what the psalmist is lifting up as, hey, this is great, being protected, being safe. God's going to feed us. God's going to take care of us. But a lot of times, human beings just have a greedy mentality where just nothing's ever enough. So they got all the food, they got the drink, they got the warm bed, they got the safety, they got the house, they got the car in the driveway, but then it's just the one thing they don't have that they complain about. Well, you know what? We have it pretty good, don't we, as American Christians? And praise be to God for that. So let's not take those things for granted. But, you know, there are enemies out there, aren't there? There are people that want to attack us and hurt us. The Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And the Bible says in verse 3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Right? This is the hunter that's out there laying traps for you. The devil is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible says, God will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Now, to me, when I think about the devil out there as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, what does that really look like? You know, the devil is a great tempter, right? The Bible calls him the tempter. When he came to tempt Jesus, he says the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread, etc. And so when we think about the fact that we're going to be delivered from the snare of the fowler, the devil has got all these traps out there. His minions have all these traps. And the idea is to get you to sin, to get you to cheat on your wife, to get you to get drunk, to get you to take drugs, to get you into gambling, to get you out of church, to get you to give up on soul winning, whatever the case may be. You fill in the blank of whatever the sin. The devil has got all these traps to try to lure you in and snag you in and get you bitter or get you just filled with an unrighteous anger and hatred, to get you sucked into the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, all these different things. But you know what? If you're trusting in the Lord, if you're in that secret place of the Almighty, if you're under the shadow of the Almighty, you know, God can deliver you from that stuff. Right? So here's a blessing, a roof over my head. Here's a blessing, food in the pantry. Here's a blessing, not worrying about terror by night and gunshots by day. Here's another blessing, is realizing that I am marked safe today from being sucked in to the devil's lies to try to get me involved in grievous sin or get me out of serving God. You know, those are the kind of blessings we need to thank God for every day, instead of just fixating on the things that aren't right about our lives and the things that we don't have. Because I guarantee you, every single person in this room practically, there's something about their life that they don't like. Every child, every teenager, every adult, every senior citizen, there is something about their life that they don't like that seriously bothers them. And you know what? Yeah, you can sit around thinking about that. Or you can just be super thankful that you're dwelling in the secret place of the Almighty, that God is on your side, that you are free from being sucked into the devil's scam and out there destroying your life, following the devil, and doing these things. So there's a lot to be thankful for. That's the main thing that I take from the first part of this psalm when I read this. It says in verse 6, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Now look, in the Christian life, you are going to see this prophecy fulfilled over and over again of people crashing and burning all around you. And you don't believe this until you see it. Like, I can get up and explain this to you, and you won't believe me. But guess what? You can go find sermons where I was explaining this 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, where I'm saying, man, people in church that you think are the most awesome people, and maybe they even are the most awesome people, and people that are super zealous, and people that are serving God will crash and burn spiritually all around you. They're going to. And it's, you kind of hear that and you're like, oh, yeah. But then when it happens, you're still shocked. Until it happens thousands of times, right? Because what does the Bible say? 1,000 shall fall at thy side. Let me tell you something. Christian, in 2026 America, 1,000 will fall at your side. What does that mean? People that are on your team are going to be dropping like flies, right? Imagine a battlefield and you're out on the battlefield and everybody around you is just getting blown away. It'd be a little bit rough. It'd be a little scary. It'd be a little discouraging if everybody around you is getting blown away. And you're thinking, I'm next. Everybody around me is getting shot. It's just a matter of time. You know, it makes me think of kind of those old style battles where you just have like two armies just kind of marching toward each other. And just imagine all the people around you are just all getting blown away. 1,000 people fall at your side, right? But what's the Bible telling us here? The Bible's telling us 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near you. It's not going to come nigh you. And what the Bible is saying is just because people around you are crashing and burning does not mean that you have to crash and burn. You can be the last man standing. You can keep going. And of course, at our church, we've had tons of casualties, but we've also had a lot of people that have stayed the whole time. Look at Amanda here, second Sunday Amanda, still here 20 years later, right? Lots of people have been here 10 plus years, 15 years. Oh, it's just such a revolving door. Yeah, you better know it's a revolving door because 1,000 will fall at our side and 10,000 will fall at our right hand. But it's not going to come near us, is it? We're not going to be those guys. We're not going to be that guy. We're not going to be that gal. If you want to, you can be in the secret place of the Almighty. You can be under the shadow. You can be under the feathers of His wings. You do not have to be a casualty. And don't let it discourage you when everybody's dropping like flies around you. Just look around and just say, well, hey, looks like I got some special protection here that these people don't have. Does everybody see what I'm saying? Because let me tell you something. I've seen it over and over again. People that were zealous soul winners, people that were good church members, people that are excited. And then it's just a few years go by, and it's not always something dramatic. Sometimes they just slowly fade away. They just kind of switch to where they're only coming Sunday morning, and then they're kind of coming a couple times a month. And then next thing you know, it's like, well, it's just too much money for gas. Oh, well, then where are you going to church? Well, you know, I don't know, you know, looking for something. And sometimes it's just a slow fading away. And sometimes it is something dramatic where the person crashes and burns in a more dramatic way. You know, I'm thinking of a particular person that, what? Oh, man. All right, thank you. Always stop me and tell me. You know, I'm thinking of a particular person where, what person was I thinking of? There's so many, it's just like spin the wheel. You know, I'm thinking of a particular guy. You know, this guy was so zealous. And I mean, this guy, he'd come to the preaching class. This is a long time ago. He'd come to the preaching class and preach great sermons. I thought this guy might be a pastor someday. You know, this, and you know what? He had, I guess in his past, he had had a drinking problem. And he fell back into that. And then, you know, he just got out of church because the pull of alcohol was just too strong. And he just became a drunkard and just lost his family and just didn't come to church anymore. You know, I don't know. As far as I know, I think he's still in that same condition. I don't know. But the bottom line is, I never would have thought. I mean, this guy was cool. This guy was great. This guy was genuine. And I don't think that he was fake at all. I think that he just, you know, got backslidden. And let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And you, my friend, unfortunately, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, you will see 1,000 fall at your side if you stay in the Christian life for decades. You will see people that will crash and burn, but it does not have to be you. You can still be standing. And so don't let that freak you out. And then a lot of people will sometimes even attack us and say, like, oh, well, look at how many of these pastors that, you know, Pastor Anderson's associated with have crashed and burned and everything, you know. What, you know, it must be something wrong with him that all these friends of his have turned on him over the years and stuff like that. Well, it's like, okay, what about when the Apostle Paul said, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia have turned away from me. Everybody in Asia has turned away from me. This is what he said. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that this may not be later. I think that the Apostle Paul could definitely relate to this verse, that 1,000 fell at his side and 10,000 fallen at his right hand. I mean, we're talking mass casualties. And, you know, it's funny. Pastor Dylan Oz was preaching a few weeks ago, and he was, I think he made a statement of like 25 NIFB pastors that have washed up over the years. Or, well, he was including pastors and people who preached like every week in their ministry, if they were like an evangelist or, you know, church planter, you know, whoever was the main preacher at that place, you know, and we just, but then we talked afterward, and he had left off so many people on the list. It was closer to 40. It was closer to 40 preachers in the new IFB that have crashed and burned, you know, and there's like 20 some that haven't crashed and burned, right? But hey, guess what? Does that make me feel bad about the NIFB? No, it just makes me realize that the vast majority of people, unfortunately, in this world are not saved. And then amongst those that are saved, the vast majority are not really serving God like they should. And then amongst those that are serving God like they should, how many of them are in it for the long haul? Well, you know what? You got to decide that you're going to stay close to God. You're going to stay under his wings. You're going to stay in that secret place. You're going to stay in his shadow because you don't want to be one of those casualties. And you don't have to be. You do not have to be. But he says, you know, you'll see it. 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because you know what? Some of the people that are fallen by your side turn out to be wicked people too. Because I talked about how some people just get backslidden. I love that guy that became an alcoholic and he was a good friend of mine. I'm really sad that he went down that path. But, you know, I don't think he was a horrible, wicked person. It's just that, you know, he gave in to the flesh. He got backslidden and went down a dark path and did something wicked. But, you know, then there are other people that are just rotten people, infiltrators, Judas Iscariots, just these cancerous type people. And you know what? The Bible says you will see those people get rewarded. And you'll see them get what's coming to them. You'll see them get punished. You'll see them get smoked all around you as well. Your eyes will see the reward of the wicked. Verse 9 says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. He's saying, look, I've made God my habitation, the author is saying. And he's saying to you, because you've done the same thing, you've also made the Lord your refuge, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Okay, now what this is, I think, a little bit of a difficult passage in some ways. Okay? But in many ways, it is a powerful truth that we need to grasp as well. So we need to really dig into this. Because, and the reason I say it's a difficult passage is because this is one that Satan uses when he's tempting Jesus, and he tries to twist this. And false prophets and false teachers, they love to twist difficult passages. Things that are really straightforward and simple and clear are hard to twist. But stuff like this can be misunderstood, and I think that's why the devil jumped on this particular text and decided to use this on Jesus to try to confuse Jesus and try to get Jesus into sin. And if you remember, what the devil specifically said to Jesus was, he said, if thou be, he takes him up on a high point and he says, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against stone. So he's basically telling Jesus, jump off of this high precipice, because your guardian angels are just going to protect you and take care of you. Because the Bible says he gave his angels charge concerning you. In their hands, they'll bear you up. So do it like a trust fall. Go throw yourself off a cliff, and then, you know, the angels are going to bear you up. And obviously, this is stupid interpretation. Like, I don't think any of us are going to fall for that today. Like, the Bible's not saying, hey, let's just go out and purposely put ourselves in harm's way just so that God can protect us from our own stupidity. Is that what the Bible's teaching here? No, and you say, oh, I don't know if anybody does that. There's a whole groups of people who do this in the South, snake handling. These guys will literally, they're like, oh, God's going to protect us from poisonous beasts. So therefore, let's pick up poisonous or venomous, for all you pedants out there that are going to, you know, correct me about that. You know, let's pick up a venomous beast and provoke it and mess with it and slap it around just to prove, you know, that we are protected by God. Isn't that kind of the same thing as let's go jump off a cliff because our guardian angels are going to catch us and protect us? No, that, you know, and what did he say? Don't tempt the Lord your God. And so this is a foolish way of understanding this. The Bible is not saying nothing bad will happen to you even if you're stupid. No, because guess what? If you go out and do stupid things, you will often face the consequences of those stupid things. This isn't saying, hey, just go drive recklessly and don't wear a seatbelt and just go out there and just 100 miles an hour on the freeway, drinking and driving. It's like, no. Obviously, if you do those kind of dumb things, you're going to face the consequences. If you drink and drive, right? It's not like your guardian angel is just going to come in and protect you from the DUI and from the accidents and all that. It's absurd. Okay? If I just went out and just went to a bad part of town and just started picking fights with people, and then I just got beaten up or something, and oh, why didn't God protect me? That'd be stupid, right? And so that's how the devil mishandles this scripture, is to twist it in that way. Let's look at the actual understanding here that we can get from this. Because it says in verse number 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh or near thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, the idea here is that God does have angels protecting us. The concept of a guardian angel is biblical. Amen. You know, the Bible talks about this in the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 1, it talks about how the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So God does have his angels to protect us. And we do have guardian angels protecting us and taking care of us. So that is true. But when the Bible says here, hey, because you've trusted the Lord, no evil's going to befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, you're not even going to dash your foot against stone. A lot of people could take this a little bit too literally and just say, nothing bad will ever happen to me and no sickness will ever happen. Whereas in reality, this is more like a general principle. In general, God will protect the righteous and keep you safe, and there are guardian angels that can protect you from any evil that would befall you. But what we have to understand, though, is that sometimes it is God's will to purposely allow those things to happen for his purposes. And so what do I mean by that? Is that nothing is accidentally going to happen to you. If you are living for God, if you are serving God, if you are right with God, nothing is going to accidentally happen to you. You're not just accidentally going to get a disease, accidentally get damaged in any way. Only if it's God's will particularly will he let those things through. It's sort of like Job or something, right? Job's totally righteous. All kinds of evil befell him, but it was because it was specifically ordained by God, because he had a plan, and Job said, when I'm tried, I shall come forth as gold. We got the book of Job. Praise God for the book of Job. We got the book of Job. It was God's will that those things happen. Now, it's funny that it says, you know, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. I literally, 2 months ago, dashed my foot against a stone. Literally. No joke. This is not a joke, okay? I was riding my bike on South Mountain. And if you remember those really severe rainstorms we had, they kind of just exposed a lot of really rocky, rugged terrain on those trails. So the trails weren't really the way they normally are, what we're used to. And so my son Stephen and I, we're out there, as we have been wont to do in times past many times. We're out there mountain biking on South Mountain, just right by our house, trying to get a little exercise. And, you know, I was going down a hill, got going a little bit out of control, hit a rock. And I crashed, and you know that this bone that's like on the side of your ankle? I just slammed it into a rock full force. It's kind of a sensitive part of your body. So I slammed it into a rock, and it was excruciating. It was just, So anyway, I was able to function, though, because it only affected like my heel and ankle. But the ball of my foot, for some reason, was like functioning perfectly. So basically, for the next month or so, I was just, my right foot, I was just always up on the ball of this foot. Like I could not, if I touched my heel to the ground, it was like, ah! So I don't know if it was like a minor fracture or something, but I could not touch my heel to the ground for like a month. Okay. The reason you didn't notice is because I'm very good at hiding these things. I know how to suffer in silence. And so, like, I just had to make it from that door to the pulpit without looking like a gimp. And I think I pulled it off. How many people knew that I had fractured my foot a little bit? Only my wife. Yeah, that's it. Knew that I dashed my foot against a stone. Okay. Now, here's the thing about this is that, you know, I believe this. And, you know, you might think this is silly or whatever. But you know what? I think that because I am... What in the world is up with this mic? I think that because of the fact that I am serving God, because I am the pastor of a church and I'm serving God and I'm winning souls, I don't even think, even something like that, I don't think is even an accident. Like, I think that that happened for a reason. Now, I think that there are all kinds of people dashing their foot against a stone that is just an accident and it means nothing. But you know what? If you're a soul winner, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, if you're dwelling in the secret place of the Almighty, if you are under the shadow of God, if he has given his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they will bear you up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And I believe that it was God's will for me to smash my ankle into that stone and hurt my foot. I believe that. Because I don't think things happen to me by accident. If I were just out there living for self, and drinking and partying and gambling, then I think things would happen by accident to me. But you know what? No, I don't think that that was an accident. I think it happened for a reason. You say, well, what was the reason? I don't know. I don't know what the reason was. But I'll tell you what, it dramatically altered my activities for the next month and a half. So, I mean, who knows? I don't really care. I don't have to know why. I'm just trusting God. And I just know that even when something bad happens to me, I just looked at it as, you know what? God wanted me to hurt my ankle. For whatever reason, because he could have easily just sent his guardian angel to just bear me up, just give me a little boost or something. Maybe I wouldn't even notice it. Because you know what? I'm not going to lie. I've crashed that bike on that mountain several times. And I didn't get hurt. But this time I did. I thought that by the time I got to my missions trip, I was like, oh, surely it's going to be totally healed by then. That's 6 weeks from now. But even on the missions trip, the first week of the missions trip, I was limping a little bit. And after 3-4 miles, you know, it was like, it was hard to walk when we were out soul winning. But by the end of the trip, it was pretty much totally healed. And so now I'm just, you know, 100%. It's great. But the thing is that, you know, I firmly believe that what the Bible says here is true, that no evil is just going to just happen to you. Bad things aren't just going to happen. You know, I'd say, well, you know, just by chance this happened to you. Not if you're serving God. But what we don't want to misunderstand this as is just, well, just nothing bad's ever going to happen to you, period. Because guess what? God can still allow bad stuff to happen to you for his purposes, for his reasons, to test you, to try you, to strengthen you. He puts these challenges in our way. And also, we don't want to take the devil's approach and put ourselves in harm's way stupidly just to test it, just to see if God's really telling the truth. I'm going to just pick up this poisonous snake just to test it. That's absurd. So I dashed my foot against a stone because, you know, the angel, I don't think my angel is just like, I just have like a really sloppy angel. I mean, if that were true, I hope he got fired and I got somebody better after that. Since bro was sleeping on the job. But no, I don't believe that for one second. I believe that the only time that's going to happen is when it's specifically God's will. Look at Stephen. Stephen is the first martyr of the New Testament. God could have protected him, because you know what? They tried to do the same thing to Jesus that they did to Stephen, and Jesus just kind of just got away. He just kind of, you know, walked through the crowd because God protected him, okay? Same thing with James, the brother of John. He gets martyred, right? There are going to be those that get martyred. The Bible says, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. But you know what? I'm not afraid that I'm just randomly going to get in a car accident. I don't think I'm just randomly going to get a disease. I don't think I'm just going to randomly dash my foot against a stone. I think that God can and will protect me from those things. And if he allows an injury or harm to come upon me, then it's his plan, it's his will. And look, it's rare that it's God's will to bring home one of his choice servants early. Right? Most great men and women of God, you know, they get to do the full tour of duty. But you know what? Some of the greatest people in the Bible, though, did go home early. John the Baptist. There's no one born of a woman, you know, well, you heard it from Moses' sermon the other day. You know, John the Baptist is a great guy. And guess what? He went home early. Stephen went home early. James went home. These are top guys. So it does happen. But is that an accident? You think it's an accident that Stephen's the first martyr? You think it's an accident that James, the brother of John, was killed? You think it's an accident that John the Baptist was beheaded? No, God knew exactly what was going on. He could have easily protected John the Baptist, Stephen, James. He chose not to, because at the end of the day, he has a bigger plan, a bigger picture that we can't always see at the time. But it still gives me great... You say, well, what good is this promise then if it has exceptions to it? What good is it if I'm not just guaranteed to never dash my foot against a stone? Well, here's what good it is that we know that we're not going to be smoked, but that if we are, there's a good reason. Because here's I don't mind going through pain and suffering as long as there's a good reason. I don't mind dying as long as there's a good reason. I just don't want to die for nothing. I just don't want to get sick for nothing. I don't want to break my foot for nothing. I want to break my foot for a good reason. Nobody's going to go through life just having nothing bad happen to them. But you know what? I'm going to go through life not having anything bad happen to me for no reason. Every cloud that comes into my life, every rain cloud is going to have a silver lining in my life, because all things work together for good for those that love God, those who are the called according to his purpose. That's what the Bible says. And so he says, they shall bear thee up in their hands, verse 12, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon, that means to step on, thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. Adder is a type of snake. The young lion and the dragon. Dragon would be, you know, any of various reptiles that could be also venomous. Like we have a very venomous reptile in Arizona called the Gila monster. And I've seen Gila monsters many times out in the wild in both Nevada and Arizona. And I've even seen one on South Mountain before. So they're definitely out there, you know. And so that's, you know, dragon can be probably in this context referring to those type of reptiles. And so it says here, you know, you're going to step on the lion, you're going to step on the snake, you're stepping on whatever this dangerous reptile, the dragon, because he hath set his love upon me. Now, here's what's going on here. Okay, we're switching speakers, and Psalms will do this from time to time. Because he hath set his love upon me. Who's the he? It's the guy that we've been talking to. You. The you has just become he. We've kind of switched perspectives here. And so now this is coming from God. And God is saying, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Right? God's saying, he loves me, so I'm going to deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. And again, there's the connection to Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them that love God. And so what is the Bible saying? He has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And again, this is not saying that there's not going to be the rare exception who dies young. It's going to happen. John the Baptist, Stephen, James, there are going to be those rare exceptions that die young. But in general, if you love God, if you serve God, if you trust in God, you are going to live a long, peaceful, fruitful, productive life. Yeah, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be battles. There are going to be hard times. But it's going to be good. It's going to be good. You know, and it's funny because, you know, I was out soul winning a lot, obviously, over the last few weeks. I was doing just constant soul winning on this missions trip. And we're preaching to people that salvation is a free gift. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And so after I go through this with them and preach this to them, and I'm hammering this and showing so many verses about this, and then once I'm done preaching to them, and I've led them in prayer to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved and everything like that. You know, then usually I'll end by saying something along the lines of, you know, that how you live your life now is up to you because you're saved, you're eternally secure, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But I typically say to them, you know, if you live a life of sin, I told this to a lot of people over the last few weeks, I said, if you go out and disregard God's commandments and live a life of sin, you'll still go to heaven. And I'd already explained that in my gospel presentation about chastisement and punishments that we get on earth, but that we're still saved. We still have eternal life. But I'll say to them, you will end up living a stupid, meaningless, insignificant life. That's what I tell these kids. I say, your life will be stupid and worthless and meaningless. I said, but if you live for God, if you read your Bible, pray, do the right things, then you can actually live a productive, meaningful life. So really, it's up to you whether you want to live a good life or a bad life, whether you want to enjoy life and your life to actually mean something versus just wasting your life and flushing it down the toilet. You know, because I don't want, I'm just trying to get something across to them simple to just let them know, hey, salvation is just the first step. Let's take the next step. Let's start listening to some preaching. Let's read the Bible. Let's get in church. Let's do all that stuff. Why? So that our life can matter. And look, if my life is good, it matters. If my life is painful, my pain matters. My suffering matters because it's all part of God's plan and it all works together for good to those who love God. And so, yeah, I want my life to mean something. I want your life to mean something. The life of sin is stupid and meaningless. You say, well, if we're going to heaven anyway, so what? Yeah, okay, we're going to heaven, but hopefully we're not going anytime soon. Why would you want to live a stupid, meaningless... I don't even want to live a stupid, meaningless life, even just for 1 month, let alone for years or decades, right? Man, I want to do something that matters. And you know what? When you're out there winning souls to Christ, you're doing something. You're accomplishing something. You're getting something done. And you know what? This church, this is not a stupid, meaningless church. This is a church that is making a huge, huge impact in this world. I mean, just tons of salvations and just tons of people being influenced by the doctrines that we stand for around here and just the preaching and also just the example of seeing our members. And our members go all over the world and interact with other people. They do soul winning marathons in places like New York City and in Nebraska and in Miami, Florida, and all over the place, right? They go on missions trips, and they're in the Caribbean and Europe and all these different places. Look, we are affecting a lot of people all over the world, and our lives mean something. So look, the struggles that we go through, the pain, the hardship, the difficulties, the trials, the tribulations, they're worth it because our lives mean something. I believe that I will live a long life. Because the Bible says in verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I think salvation in this context is talking about physical, earthly salvation. He's going to protect you, like what he's been saying the whole chapter. Get the context. You know, protecting you from enemies, protect you from disease, protect you from the gunshots and all these different things. So when I look at verse 16, I walk away saying, you know what? I'm going to live a long life. Why? Because I love God. If I love God, I'm going to live a long life. Now look, am I for sure right about that? Well, you know, it's possible that I could be one of those rare exceptions where God allows something to get through for his purposes. And to that I say, amen. You know, it is what, I mean, look, if that's God's will, he must have a pretty good reason for it. And so we just got to trust him and go with it. You know, and I look at so many things that have happened to me in my life, and a lot of times they don't make sense at the time. And even like a year later, sometimes they don't make sense. But by the time you get to the 5-year mark, usually things start making sense almost all the time. 10 years later, it's like, you're like, wow, that had to be that way. That had to happen. I didn't like it at the time, but, you know. And I think about certain things that have happened to me that I really didn't like. But then I think about like, well, I think I probably went soul winning more because of that. I probably worked harder. I probably read my Bible more, you know, and it's like I can see how these things maybe had to happen in order to get me where I needed to be. And look, I don't pretend to understand God's plan. And, you know, in some ways, I've stopped trying to figure it out sometimes because I get confused about things, especially some things that have happened recently that confused me. And I'm like, what the? But you know what? At the end of the day, like, I don't have to have the answer. I don't have to know all the answers, you know? All I got to do is just say, you know what? In general, I can see that I have lived a blessed life. In general, I can see that God has protected me from everything on this list. In general, I can see that, yeah, thousands are falling around me, but it's not touching me. And so I just have to just trust the rest of God's program. Because if I think about my life, like 90-some percent of it always makes sense. And then there's always like this little 5-10% that you're like, man, what's the deal with this? Well, you know, we got to just trust God for that one thing in your life that's confusing you, that one thing that you can't see. Because guess what? If it was all just shown to you, you'd be walking by sight and not walking by faith. Right? There has to be that little element of uncertainty in your life or you're not living by faith. If everything just made perfect sense all the time, if I could always just hand you a piece of paper and you could just write out the reason for every single bad thing happening in your life all the time, then you wouldn't have to have any faith in the Lord that he's got a plan, that it's going to work together. It would just be like, well, yeah, it's just duh, it's just obvious, just this is happening for this. Oh, hurt my foot. Well, of course I did. Here's why. Then there'd be no faith required. Well, guess what? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And we have got to live our lives according to God's word and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Right? Even if things are happening that confuse me, I'm going to keep going and just trust that God has got my back. The guardian angels are still there. The only thing that I need to worry about is staying in the secret place of the Almighty, staying under the shadow of God's wings. That's all I need to worry about is loving God and not falling for the devil's tricks, right? And if I can do that, I'm going to be okay. You're going to be okay. And look, I think that our church is going to have a great year in 2026. I think this year is going to be awesome. I mean, last year obviously was phenomenal. It was just objectively the greatest year ever by every metric. But you know what? I don't see why this year is not even going to be even better. I feel like every indication is for this year to be a greater year, a better year. You know, I'll tell you right now, I feel a lot better right now than I did 12 months ago. You know, I'm more encouraged. I'm more fired up. I'm more ready to go. Our church is doing better. Everything's better as far as I'm concerned. I don't know what the year is going to hold. Maybe it's going to be a difficult year filled with challenges. Maybe it's just going to be a victory lap and it's just going to be win after win after win. But you know what? Whatever it is, we're going to do it. You know, it's God's plan. And maybe God is going to give us a bunch of big blessings and it could just be a year of fun and enjoyment. Maybe God's going to hit us with more challenges and difficult. But you know what? Whatever it is, we're going to do it. We're going to get through it. And you know what? We got angels guarding us. They're ready to bear us up in their arms, lest any time we dash our foot against a stone. This is a great psalm. And I hope that when you read this, you find it as encouraging as I do. And you've got to read it and believe it and trust it and say, this is what it is. Okay? And if you do that, then I think it's going to be real encouraging to you if you're maybe, you know, wondering about things. And also, always put things in perspective of, oh, my life's so messed up. It's like, oh, really? Because did you eat 3 meals a day? You sleeping in a warm bed tonight? Other people live in Minnesota right now. Like, we sleep in a warm bed. Even if we slept outside, it'd be a warm bed compared to a lot of people. You could be on a park bench with a newspaper on you, and it'd be a warm bed compared to some people in this world right now. And so here's the thing, is that, you know, you got food. I don't see any nudity tonight. There's no naked people. So it looks like we all got raiment. We got food. We got raiment. We're living in America, right? It's going to be great. Just put things in perspective. There are people right now that are starving, that are taking a beating, that are worried about bombs going off and gunshots, and they are dealing with serious plagues and diseases and things. You know, if you're just relatively healthy, you know, that's something to be thankful for. But you know what the biggest thing to be thankful for of all? Is if you can go to bed tonight with a clear conscience. That's the best blessing of all. The best blessing is that you didn't get ensnared by the fowler and that you can go to bed and put your head on the pillow and say, you know what? I love God and I'm cool with God and we have everything squared away and you know, I'm living in God's will. I mean, and then you just fall asleep and just wake up 8 hours later. I mean, there's nothing better than that. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this chapter, Lord. Please help us to really buy into what you've taught us in this chapter tonight, Lord, and understand that your protection is real, the peace in our hearts that you can give us is real, the safety is real. And Lord God, help us to always trust you, even when things do go wrong, when you do allow those occurrences to slip through the guard on purpose. Help us to realize that those things will ultimately be for our good. And Lord, bless us as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.